this member of a presidentially appointed.
I was glad to see that tonight. Well, by the way, you got a sense, you got something. Not a meeting here, but something.
He was also a presidential scholar.
Oh.
Here, but, you know, that stuff.
Do we turn this way so we can cut our official photograph here, which they can use? That's your actions. Makes the best pictures in our room. How you hear that?
You got this job.
Did you get any things tomorrow?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, that's all. Oh, my. We maybe should do a copy of it now, if they can bring it out to the press. Like, record it where you did. Ken, is, one of the charter members of the youth organization for charter children. Is the past president of it. I'm a freshman. Harvard now. Joe Douglas. And I were first associated in HEW. When I came in 1956, he was already there. He's held a series of important jobs in HEW and with the federal government, including the several posts in the National Institute of Mental Health. He recently headed the initial work in organizing the White House Conference of Children and Youth. He's now the executive director of this committee. I suppose before asking members of the committee to fill you in on some of the most important things that they're doing, I might just touch briefly on what seems to me an extraordinary phenomenon in itself. That is that at our time and that at this particular moment, there is a greater degree of concern for the retarded than there has been at any previous time, or it's fair to say, in any other society. I think we could well regard this as by society, you don't mean any other country. I suppose there's some countries that do, smaller countries do a better job than we do, would you say?
I think there's some that do as well, but I can't give it on a better class. The total effort and when you think also of the involvement of individual citizens.
Volunteer.
That while there may be countries that have programs.
I agree.
But I think really as a mark in a sense of the quality of a civilization, the ways in which people seek to reach out to the handicapped and helpless is probably the single most significant indicator. And so the present committee serves in effect to try to bring together into a more effective total relationship programs that occur not only throughout HEW but in many other parts of the government. In HEW alone, there are some 54 different programs that touch needs and problems of retarded one way or another, with total appropriations in fiscal 72 of some $668 million, which is up from about $377 million in fiscal 68. Now, one might well say, why can't you put 54 programs into one or into a few? I'm sure we can consolidate in some places, and this is one of the first questions, you know, a major effort in itself. But there is no way, really, that this whole effort can be confined to just a very few programs, because it extends across the whole range, obviously, from basic research into the genetic causes of some forms of retardation, the problems of neonatal development, the kinds of environmental influences that can bring about retardation, the needs of the severely retarded for residential care, the development of programs of education and training for those who are trainable and eligible, community involvement in various forms, income maintenance, support for those who are not otherwise adequately able to support themselves. So these efforts do extend across a very broad range. And the role of the President's Committee is within the government to try to assure the maximum among these programs while also seeking to enlist the commitment and participation of state, local governments, and voluntary agencies. There has been a function primarily of identifying priority needs and opportunities, and then, having done this, to develop policy recommendations and to involve all of the participants in the execution of these recommendations. With the new vice chairmanship of Senator Bergener and Joe Douglas is added as executive director, they have been reviewing the work of the committee and seeking to chart new directions for it. And I think now to tell you about these would be appropriate for me to turn next to Senator Bergener.
Thank you very much. It's my interest in the moment to try to come back to the lovely lady on your left and I think that in two people in the room that happen to be parents of the target children, in our, as our political paths have brushed over the years, I don't think we've ever mentioned that, but we too are, and no one else here. But this is kind of typical of our movement. It's a good mixture of parents of retarded and professional people and citizen volunteers, and it works very well. My little contribution to this has to do with about 200,000 people who are mentally retarded. They live in institutions. And how we think we can take at least a third of them, bring them out of the institution, and bring them back to the community.
So I saw those figures. There are 200,000 institutions, and there are approximately 6 million. And we have a better country retarded. The others now are already living in homes. It's
various places. They're right. All over the place. Some of their own families.
But you think here you say that even that small, hardcore of 200,000 could be.
Oh, indeed.
It's not going to be the. Now the other point that I made is this, sir. What about the 6 million? Or the 5,800,000 that are not in institutions, are some of those, do they have institutional care? Is that
I think not. They need to be totally integrated into all of the things that are happening in the community.
That's the important thing. In other words,
normalization
is I see the front, and I think that gets answers my question. And our real goal here is not to cart people away and put them in institutions, but our real goal is to get them out of institutions and in society and families, get them accepted, have them make their contributions to the extent they can.
Well, and have the fears of the public who don't know about them.
Right.
We all fear the unknown. And, you know, it's a national people. And now, if we get them out of the institution, why should we do it? And what do we do with them when we get them out?
Right.
Well, maybe some would come back to their own homes. Some would go to foster homes. Some would go to smaller, maybe a 200-bed facility, either public or private. The smaller the better. You can't take a 4,000-bed institution and call it a home. It just isn't. It isn't a home. Some would go into special classes in the public schools, some would go to the Shelby Workshop. But independent living for the adult retarded is very important. It's normal for our own kids when they achieve adulthood, age 21, 23, 19, to move out. Not because we don't love them, but because they have to get self-independence. The same is true for the handicapped. And the only way they're going to feel self-value and worth is to kind of be on their own. Now, in the Scandinavian countries, this is one area where we're a little bit behind them. They've done a beautiful job at this. The adult handicapped go out and live in little cluster housing with kind of marginal supervision from the site. We can do a lot of that if we will. Now, it's expensive to keep them in these, well, we call them lots of things, stay home, stay hospital. You remember Pacific State near Pomona, we used to call it Pacific Colony. They go by lots of different names, but they're a substitute home, and you get 3,000 or 4,000 beds, they're not much of a home. So it costs $15,000 to $20,000 a bed to build one of these places, and equipment, buy the land. That's expensive. Then it costs $4,000 to $5,000 for the taxpayers to keep the person in there annually and maintain them. So we can do it a lot better, a lot cheaper back in the community, and then the human values are just immense by having these people really belong to society. We all tend, and we parents are the most guilty of all, we tend to be too protective. We tend to underestimate what our youngsters can do. That's why we need professionals like Dr. Douglas and the Secretary and others who can be more objective than we, and particularly the young people like Ken Robinson come in, and they have no limitations on their horizons. some of us who are older think we can't do much. These young people show us how we can do all kinds of things. So that, in bringing them back to Christianity, why this is a clever reason why we should do this.
You know, the interesting thing you say, though, is we're running at cross currents here in the United States. When you said that we tend to be too protective, that's just about retarded. The tendency in our society today is for us to be far too protective about young people, you know, generally, you know what I mean? You know, I don't want to get out of focus so far, and rather than that, if you carry that over, then on the retarded thing, you're running against that current by, as a, we think sometimes we do the a favor to a child. I'm referring to a non-retarded child, a favor to a child, by doing many things for him or her. And many things, many times, and none of us like to be cruel. The worst thing you can do is to do too much to the child, right?
Exactly.
That's a retarded thing, of course, is in the, I remember a great, you remember Elliot, all of your convention in 60, Walter does a keynote speech where he told this wonderful example. He said about his daughter. His daughter always used to ask him to help her with her arithmetic. And he said, and what I could have done, he says, I could do her arithmetic for her. He says, I could do it better, and it would take me less time. But he says, I didn't do it for her. And he says, not because I didn't love her, but because I did love her. I want she had to do it herself. You know, that's really that's the problem we got. Throughout our society, like that rest of it here, but I think it runs right into this. You take a retarded child, or for the like, a non-retarded child that's not developed, or the other, and we all think, gee, we're just going to keep that kid who's got something, just got to push him in the water and make him sweat out. And it's not cruel. It's the only right thing to do. That's why I'm just as bad as anybody else. I don't think I have to make the mother's feet as well. Or daughter's feet.
Why don't we wind up with Joe and ask who's you and next to?
Well, I'm going to turn to Kenny, who has, I think, some remarks he'd like to make.
Well, Ms. President, I'd like to talk about youth involved in the field of mental retardation. One of the most difficult problems in mental retardation, of course, is ensuring that mentally retarded persons have a useful and meaningful life. And I'm sure you're aware that countless mentally retarded people have been left in the past and still today to vegetate in institutions and in private homes where no assistance is offered them. Well, in October 1968, Youth NERC, the National Youth National Association for Retarded Children, was formed with the primary purpose, the primary concept of filling this void thus formed in the minds of retarded persons by providing a tête-à-tête, extremely interpersonal relationship between young people and as many mentally retarded persons as possible. In an unprecedented, concerted national effort of young people to ameliorate the lives of these mentally retarded persons by providing for their emotional, psychological, and physical well-being, our membership in Youth NERC now has reached 30,000 in 46 states within 4 years. We feel this is an indication that young people indeed have found that mental retardation is a cause to which we can become devoted, and that there is something we can do as young people to supplement what is already being done by adults. Besides our direct activities to the mentally retarded, which by the way comes in the form of recreational activities, physical development exercises, and cultural enrichment programs, our young people have become involved in another major emphasis which parallels one of the President's Committee, and that is one of public awareness and public education in the field of mental retardation. We find that our volunteers have done much to focus the attention of the community and young people on the problems and the solutions unique to the field of mental retardation. We find that very often the media is more receptive to young people coming to it with a new innovative approach to the problems of mental retardation. focusing the attention of the community on it. Unfortunately, many of our associations, many of our adult associations on the local level have been unable to work as effectively, perhaps, as possible, simply because the media is not receptive to the type of input they're giving us. So young people, we have found, are able to get into the media, are able to get more so into the homes, into the individual homes of the community, and get our concepts over concerning mental retardation. To give you a general idea of some other things that young people actually can do in the field of mental retardation, I again must refer to Youth Inherency, because I say this, before Youth Inherency was formed, to our knowledge, there really had not been, again, a concerted national effort of youth to go into the field and to really affect great changes in the field as young people. So I might say that we are now substantially supplementing the manpower in the field simply because we are providing many students who have an interest in relevant paraprofessional and professional careers. We found that in the past, young people who had been going into college, perhaps thinking of in majoring in fields relevant to mental retardation, would drop out of those majors simply because of lack of funds, because of lack of interest. And so we are, the whole scope of young people in the colleges now is changing, simply because our volunteers have had the introduction to the field before they go into college. They realize at that time that this is what they want to do, and that there is something as young people and as paraprofessionals or professionals they can perhaps do. So we believe that we are supplementing substantially the manpower in the field. We are now becoming actively involved in legislative affairs concerning mental retardation on the state and local level. We hope that eventually our influence as young people, especially as voters now on the 18 and above parades, will carry over to the federal level. But we are now influencing legislative affairs on the state and local level. We've had some very remarkable instances of this legislative involvement in the Idaho and Michigan and Wisconsin state legislatures, where we have been influential in passing residential services legislation. Of course, we are seeking to coordinate our activities in Youth Inherency with the other volunteer activities of other national youth service-oriented organizations. And I might add that within the last few years, this type of organization has become much more frequently prevalent in our society. At the time Youth Inherency was formed in 68, there were very few national youth organizations. We find that the Youth March of Dimes now has become very actively involved. United Cerebral Palsy has instituted a youth organization. The Council for Exceptional Children has a very active student agency. So we also seek to coordinate our activities with these, again, to give a much more comprehensive scope of youth involvement in the field. Indeed, we have found by our involvement that youth can effectively supplement what is being done by the families in the home and by the overworked staff in the institution to aid the mental retardant. We believe, as I have said, that we have found the cause and we are devoting ourselves to that, seeking to constructively improve our society. We trust that the media understands that we are not perhaps the more vocal majority of young people that are constantly attacking our society, but that we are an extremely active majority of young people, seeking really to get in and do something about the conditions that are prevalent in our society. And there are so many things that can be done by young people in the field of mental retardation.
When did you become interested?
I became interested about 8 years ago. It was a very personal introduction when I met the son of my family doctor, who is a Mongoloid. It was from that introduction that I gathered an interest and sought to go out into the community and really devote myself to helping out. Right. I really just turned 10. Right?
Late start.
Right.
You kept studying in high school. I mean, you kept interested in the volunteer activities.
Indeed, right. I was 13 when Youth Inherency was formed. And, of course, I was a ninth grader in junior high.
Working for the high school.
of the Pearl High School in Nashville, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Public school.
The one that went to Harvard.
Right, yes, I'm a freshman.
Good, good life.
Late.
So we turn to Joe Douglas, President, my dad, Pat Hitt. She would like to add a couple of words. She is here as Secretary for Community and Field Services in HEW, which is really a sort of parent for the work of the President's Committee in HEW. So is there
briefly, I think animal retaliation is almost the only field that I have ever been involved in as a volunteer in my whole life. I do just about it, everything else there is to be done. And I think that my whole experience, thanks to you, Mr. President, here in Washington at ACW, would be, if I had to point to the one thing, the one vista that has opened up for me that was new, other than being a part of federal bureaucracy, it would be the opening up of this area and a new interest, which has had a tremendous impact on me. I think Kennedy is probably one of the greatest inspirations I've ever had. I first met him at one of the first conventions where he presided, and about 2 years ago, I shared a half-hour television, educational television program, and I can tell you that it's the first time in my whole life I was delighted to be upstage and have it taken away from me by someone else. But because here's an example of a young man who is very insistent in the work he does, is touching on the lives of thousands, all apologies to our generation, is touching on the lives of thousands and thousands of people. And as a result of Ken and the young people like him, there are literally tens of thousands of mentally retarded who will have a better life, a better chance, and a rich. So to me, he's a tremendous inspiration. If you didn't know Julie yesterday, I haven't had a chance to talk to her, but I understand from Ken that she was quite enthusiastic about her visit. So she can do a lot for us too.
Yes, but that way the mayor, Cleveland, Kirk, has a retarded child, and she visited the institution in Cleveland where his child was, so this is interesting. Quite a gal.
Oh.
She'd like to do that. Now, as I had, I'm the president of Seth Walkman's opportunity to talk with you concerning this major problem. We have feeling today that the opportunity for this acted to reduce incidence and relevance and mechanization by about 50%. The last decade has shown tremendous development in biomedical taking a child and rest, I suppose, and I know it goes to much more complicated things, but we press the other side of the coin, as we all know, the psychosomatic diseases, and that person who has a psychosomatic disease is just as sick as one who's physically sick. I mean, and despite, you know, your envy, which I yell at, you know, say, I mean, they are. I mean, that's I think this is a fascinating field, and very importantly, grant to get a hold of it.
And one of the more common forms of misdiagnosis in field retardation is that was fundamentally an emotional illness on the part of the child, which can result in behavior that makes the child inaccessible and withdrawn, and therefore not part of the learning process and so on.
The emotional, behaviors are, so, of all the fields, I've read a lot in this field, of all the fields, this is, has to be emotional, because it's the unknown. In a sense it is, isn't it? We look back, of course, to, we all go back a century, or maybe a half a century, and just put everybody in homes. I mean, this and that and the other thing, you know, and there was something wrong about it, you know, something wrong with the family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But now, at least we have, it's a great thing that the country has advanced to the point we don't look at it that way anymore. We look upon it as an opportunity rather than something abnormal. But still, there's this gray area of the unknown. I mean, we have all these studies of children, what happens to them. The treatment problem works out of the physical problem and all the rest. And then, of course, this whole area, of course, as I'm sure you're aware, too, is a field that unfortunately brings in an enormous, I mean, there are quacks on the physical side, but there's an enormous lot of number of quacks on this side, I mean, who make people sick who really are, you know, that's the other side of this. But go ahead. Well, we think the latest, perhaps, if we use this model, is to say we can reduce or prevent mental retardation in the very tens by some 15 to 20%. You can certainly, we think, reduce the reflection of mental retardation through correcting chronic diseases, et cetera, by about 10 to 15%. And we think that anywhere possibly 20 to 25% of these salvage from this mislabeling and inability, you know, inaccessibility to the delivery systems and health, education, and welfare, and other opportunity structures in our society. On the preventive end, I think perhaps we can make greatest progress in the next 20 years because of the amount of outreach of developments. I'd like to run through just a few. The whole area of genetic counseling with reference to hereditary diseases, so-called carrier detection. There are now about 27 known hereditary aspects which can be identified. And you're very sure, yes, 27 have been. The X number, of course, do not, but 27 affirm. The whole question of the incompatibility of the Rh cycle in the mother and child is a new development and the prevention of hemolytic diseases of newborns. This question is now the ability now to survey or to say surveillance prenatal periods for modeling the fetal growth and development to reduce the incidence of low weight births, as they are not progressing normally, not doing that through nutrition, or they need to get the baby to the size should be when born.
There is a high correlation between
what are the highest
prematurity and mental retardation,
and also low birth rate.
So that whatever is done along these lines, including, among other things, the emphasis which is part of the family planning and prenatal and postnatal care efforts that are going on as a result of initiatives you've taken are helping now to cut down prematurity. Getting mothers simply to come in for prenatal examinations on a regular basis, which a great many mothers in disadvantaged neighborhoods have not been doing, is contributing.
Yes, and there's a high correlation between the dental well-being and health of the mother in terms of the diseases she might have, diseases of the liver, heart, the pancreas, and other things. chances of that baby's being a well, totally normal baby, or on the other hand, the development of the fetal lung, the extent to which by the beginning of the second trimester, the baby's lung is not developed to the point so that it can make the transition into birth later, then the parent is counseled that perhaps this should continue with that pregnancy. These are some of the major causes, of course, of immunization. These are particularly in advance of the part of the young ladies. Now, there are many indications in terms of how best to bring to bear the available knowledge and techniques in the community setting, so that with existing resources, federal, state, and local, voluntary, and professional, concentrated attack can be made in solid doctrination and prevent attack and in care and treatment. This is, of course, extend over to institutions because we have a better education system. This is one way that this can be improved. Say then that a 50% reduction within 30 years based on solving knowledge is certainly the most possible.
Senator, you might be interested in knowing that we have recently initiated a program of prevention directed towards the potential mother on the high school level concerning prenatal care, and also concerning the high risk of birth of children with mental deficiencies, where the mother has used an excess of certain drugs to let my babies know what happened. So this is also another thrust that we are seeking to work on a youth-to-youth basis and inform potential mothers.
May I mention one brief thing, about 30 seconds? Last month, your Committee on Mental Retardation conducted the first specific forum on mental retardation in Honolulu. It wasn't held there because that's a nice place to go, which it is, but there were 17 Pacific nations that participated. Japan, Singapore, Australia, Philippines, and all of them. And we had a three-day thing that was just outstanding. We exchanged information. You find that compared to other, a little bit on the feminine side, I would say. Whereas compared to Scandinavian countries, some of those are ahead of us in small areas. Overall, I think we're doing the best job of all. But they passed a unanimous resolution commending you and the committee for doing this. I didn't know if you were aware, but us being out there. But it was an outstanding event, and the first we hope of for others to follow. Because we would have to share information with all these countries. There were 17 of them, from all of them, including Japan. We didn't have People's Republic, but we had we really had a fine meeting. And already the American Association on Mental Deficiency, which is primarily the medical doctors, offered to give them their total library in all these countries free.
Good.
So that's another thing. I just want to touch on.
Well, we'd like to go forth, Mr. President, brief the press, which, with the emphasis of the statement that has been prepared for you to issue,
right.
That which targets these three major areas. And,
well, if you
that will, I think, help to.
Yes. You never know. You never know what the press will cover. Don't be disappointed if you see it here in papers here, because sometimes it will fly out of the country, you know, and that's the important thing. It's just to keep working on it.
Well, the parents and
they'll consider it. If you don't see it, it may be important, but it's, so you just got to keep pounding it out. Eventually, some of it seeps through in the wires or the story of a crop, say in Billings, Montana, or something like that, and that affects the family and so forth. And maybe not a life has changed, and that is all your meetings were about. Just one. I want to thank you for your time, all of you, and Mark for the work you're in. This has to be a labor's love, and they look here are
person that live a life, speaking of a retired person or individual or child, or this, and give us hope for that one. If one family's life has changed as a result of this, then also looking on the preventive side, we can make some progress in preventing in the future. And one family or that one child is worth it. That's why you're most of your illness. You've got to, but and don't be discouraged by the fact that, that sometimes your appropriations aren't as big as they are, or sometimes the numbers aren't as encouraging as they are. Sometimes maybe you should breakthroughs aren't as big as they are. The main thing is that there's a lot of people who care about what you're doing. Most people are there. Now I'd like to give you a little memento here. I'll get the presidential cufflink coming out of this way. There's yours.
Thank you. Thank you.
You don't have to wear a cuff. I said, I don't know what it is. Comes from being pro. But see what we got there. Oh, my, sir. Yeah. It was mine. Oh, we got a little gimmick, a little compact for you. Do you have a compact
matching? No, but I
have a compact.
Thank you very much.
What do you try to do when you finish college?
Well, I'm in biology now.